Hey, I've got a question for you. Do you know if you're tracking the right data, the right metrics, the right key performance indicators in your practice? This is something that's huge for us and really helps us make solid decisions within our business. But the prior software that we were using to run our practice made it really, really challenging to actually get that data out and use it in reports. Since we switched to PGA Everywhere, this has actually become way, way easier for us to be able to have the right data. We have a dashboard of all the things that we actually want to see, the metrics that we want to pull, and it makes our life a lot easier to pull the information that we need to make the right decisions within our business. So if you're running blind, you're not tracking the right things, or you're having a hard time actually pulling everything together, I highly recommend you check out our friends at PT Everywhere and see what they've got going on with their software platform. It's what we use for our practice. It's been a game changer for us. You can check them out at PT Everywhere. .com. I think you really like it. So here's the question. How do physical therapists like us, who don't want to see 30 patients a day, who don't want to work home health, and have real student loans, create a career and life for ourselves that we've always dreamed about? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. My name's Danny Matei, and welcome to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. Like creepy voices, like, yeah. So we're being recorded, guys. We're live in Facebook. We're gonna those in the podcast as well. So welcome to the doc or the PT Entrepreneur podcast. Doc Danny here with Kingsley Yu, who is one of my favorite cash clinicians in the country. Somebody I've had a chance to know for a while. Somebody's doing a lot of cool stuff that we wanted to have a chance to really be able to highlight and let him tell all the things that he knows about cash practices. He's definitely one of the first cash practice owners that I know of. I'm sure there's plenty that I don't know of before that, but for 10 years now, has been going at it, and it's a wealth of knowledge that he has. So, Kingsley, man, we appreciate your time today. Thanks so much for jumping on the call.
Absolutely, man. Nice to see you, Danny.
Dude, I got to tell you, I love the gorgeous ball in the rib cage behind you. It's like very Jill Miller, you know.
Absolutely.
Exactly. That thing is amazing. It's like one of my favorite things. So anyway, nice job on the skeleton. The space looks amazing too, man. I haven't really seen too much of it, and it looks really good.
Thanks, man. You know, we're just trying to make as much as we make as much do as we can with a small space, and I think it's we've been pretty productive here. So I'm really happy about that.
It's efficient for sure. Is that one of those racks that closes down?
Yeah, fold right in.
Those things are a game changer. Those things are great. We'll get into all your backstory here in a second, but I thought of a question. I was like, man, I've got to ask Kingsley this question. I think this will tell a lot of people a little bit about his personality, and we can judge you off your answer. But you're a big Star Wars guy. You know, I know that about you. that's one of the things that I like so much about you is that. But what would you say? Who'd you say the Star Wars character that you identify most with? Like, who would that be?
Oh man. Dude, I mean, that's crazy. Like, so I think like years ago, I would say just because it's current too, like everyone's just been like, oh, so this answer is so disappointing, but I'm just going to say it's just gonna be the Mandalorian, man. Like,
this is a good one.
He's like a nomad. He's kind of like a loner. And I was like, that's how I felt. Like when I first started, I was like, I'm alone doing this thing. Can't talk to anybody. Can't do things like that. It's just grinding away, you know?
Yeah. That's funny because I was thinking, I was like, what's he gonna pick? And that's kind of what I thought too. No, that's cool. I thought I'd throw it in there and catch you off guard there a little bit. To be honest with you, I thought about it for myself too, and I gotta go with Han Solo. I just think it's too hard not to. He's so cool, man. I wish I'm not as cool as him, obviously, but it's a good one too. So
it's the hair, man. It's the hair.
Dude, I need a haircut so bad. You have no idea. I need a haircut like a week ago. So yeah, it's definitely the hair. Well, Kingsley, let me do this, man. Give us your, I'm going to make you condense your sort of background down in like 3 minutes. So Kingsley, you graduate from PT school. How do you get to where you're at today, man? Like what was the evolution of you getting here?
Cause background before I went to PT school, I was working like as an ATC within an in-network clinic. And it was privately owned, and you know, just so I had like a lot of exposure to that type of setting, you know, just like we were super busy. Like I was like, oh man, this is what the PT's life is going to look like after like I'm going to graduate from school, and so you know, I was So for that part, like I knew that I wasn't going to really stay in that type of setting for very long. So, shortly after a year of graduating and working for an in-network practice, I decided I'd go ahead and try to see what it's like to start working with people like on my own. Like I had patients that, who had asked me like, well, would you do some stuff on the side and stuff like that. So I kind of took advantage of that. And just, about a year and a half after I left my job, I was like, spoke to my wife and I was like taking this like little leap here. And partly it was just also because of, we had young kids at home and it was like, well, want like the kids to know who their parents are, like raising them. So that's kind of what I decided to do. So I was kind of like Mr. Mom for a little while I was working. So like my wife and I would just be like, just kind of like, tagging in and out, like when we would be working our shifts. So it's kind of like changing gears all the time, but
Well,
that's really
she's
it.
healthcare as well, right? Like she's so
Yeah.
the schedule demands are really challenging with two healthcare providers.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. And she's working for a big hospital system, so she really doesn't have much freedom with setting her hours. So it was kind of like I had to kind of work around her hours a little bit for a little while. And so that was really it. So she'd come back home, she'd leave relatively early in the morning, but I'd start my day with clients early before even that. And then she'd come back home from work and I'd be like, okay, I'm out of here. Like dinner's made and then out to work again.
So when you when you started the practice, I know it was mobile, right? For years. So I would love to know, for you having gone from one to the other, like what are the pros and cons of the two? Because I do get a lot of questions about about the difference between the two. And obviously, you have a physical location now, but what do you feel like the pros and the cons are with being mobile and then having your own space?
Well, I mean, like the pros and cons, I mean, like the pros are, are just like, I mean, you have a change in environment, you have a lot of flexibility, you have very low to minimal overhead, right? Which is something that, a lot of like, clinicians starting off are going to be like they're going to lean towards that, right? Because it's kind of like they're not convinced yet that this is something sustainable and that's going to let, that they're going to be able to do this for themselves. So those are the benefits, but the cons are just like it's the time, the patience that's required to, travel and move around. So, where I am in the suburbs of Long Island, like, and I'm not going to say that the traffic around here is the worst because it's not the worst in the country. I know that for sure. I mean, I've been by you. It's crazy where you are. Like traffic in other areas are definitely a lot worse, but it's the time that gets lost with not being able to be as efficient as you can be with your schedule, the wear and tear in your car. I don't know, just after a while it does wear on you. And then just being able to not like even give your clients like the maybe like the full experience that you want to give them. I mean, short of like whether or not they have a fancy gym at their house or country club or wherever you decide to go to, just having like the equipment like and like resources accessible to them to really set them up for success.
I remember one thing we did with you early on was just like track how much time you were spending in your car. And I think it was like 12 or 13 hours in a week is when you came back with it was where we were at. And it's interesting. I feel like that's a lot of people, right? That's 2 days worth of full caseloads, with having your own space. So do you feel like as you made that transition, you were able to kind of recapture some of that schedule effectively and utilize it to see, to improve the number of people you could see, but also, honestly, probably just like put it towards other things in the business.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I just even like this past week, I've experienced that, and so I kind of joke around and half joking and not and half serious that my OG clients, right? Like they've been spoiled. Like they're like, oh, Kingsley's gonna come to us, and I'm like, oh. I was like, how can I get myself out of that? And so like this past week, I have an OG client who like wants to get in more times. If I'm not offering them enough because I can't go to see them, and I'm like, well, how about this? Let's flip the tables and why don't you come to me? And so you can experience like what it's like for me to, so you understand like my travel to you, and things like that. And so so it's actually been refreshing to get that, to get more of those people who are coming to me, and definitely be much more efficient, right? So like this week, I think we have 37 on schedule, and I was like,
Dang.
yeah, and I was like, I, 37, and having to do 37 concierge visits would be insane.
It would be like almost impossible. It seems like, I mean, if you add in the travel, unless those people are, they live all right next to each other and you can walk down a street with your table, like it's just, it's not happening, man. You know? So I think, you know, the threshold, I'm interested, like, what do you feel like the threshold really is for somebody to be able to, you know, how many visits can they have as a concierge PT in a week before it's honestly, you're like redlining yourself and the schedule won't allow it.
I mean, I think ultimately you're probably looking at 20, right? I mean, right. That's four per day. And I mean, just, and four, and think about this too. I mean, four one-to-one sessions anyway is, could be taxing, right? Especially with who you're working with.
Sure.
So, and then four on top of that, stack on at least a 30 minute buffer of travel and setup and everything else that you have to do, that amounts to a pretty solid day.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you're talking 6 to 8 hours just right there, right? If you're super, super efficient, closer to the six. But yeah, it's interesting to see. I do see what you're saying though about people starting out, especially if they're not sure if this is going to work, right? It seems like they can you know, get out of there easier. They don't have a sublease somewhere. They don't have, you know, they haven't bought equipment, anything else like that. You know, but I really can't think of anybody in our group. Like, do you have anybody you're working with right now within your coaching groups that's mobile currently?
Yes, I do.
Who is
several? So we have Revolution out in Texas, Katie and Patrick.
Oh, that's right. Okay, but they're looking to find a space. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, so that's what they're doing exclusively. And then we also had Gabby, right? So she was doing that as well.
Yeah.
So there's a couple. And so, like, you know, when I get them in my group, I was like, yeah, all right, you guys are like, you understand like some of the pain, the struggles right now. But, right. You know, that's to answer your question. Like, those are that's who's in the group right now.
Yeah. And it's interesting to see. I feel like, we see this over and over again, this movement from, like, you know, if somebody wants to scale, I think this is where it gets really challenging too, right? If you wanted to just replace your income, which you did for years with the mobile approach, you can definitely do that. If you want to be able to scale to multiple people, I think it becomes much more difficult to manage. And we saw this even with the practice we were working with in Chicago, but they were able to do this in a very population dense area. It was a work area, you know, more of a business area of the city. And so they were going to offices that were very close to each other. So they were able to like condense down. And I think that business model does work pretty well in cities like that. But when, you know, you're spending however many hours in your car and then somebody else is doing the same thing, like your average visit rate has to be so much higher to justify the time. It would be challenging to do, you know, so for you, like moving to where you're, you know, physical location, you know, right now. You know, what have you liked most about, obviously there's a time saver to it, but what have you liked most about people kind of coming to see you versus sort of having to adapt to the environment you're in at somebody's house?
Well, I mean, like part of it is just actually just like showing them like your personality. Like, you know, they come in, like some of the clients that we've had who've like, you know, the concierge, they come in like, oh wow, I really like, you know, how you've like set the place up. And So I mean it's just your personality, I think, which is a huge thing. And I think a huge reason why like the people that choose to work with you, right? Because you just get to express that too. But, you know, the convenience, the personality, I don't know. I mean, just being able to call my place, like just a home, like have this, be able to set up networking meetings with other referral sources.
Right.
Hey, come check out my spot. Like we'll sit down, whatever, you know, we'll have coffee, coconut water, like something, you know, just hang out and stuff like that and just check it out. Like, so, you know, that's like the beneficial part, creating content. Like, you know, there's just so many good things about it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't want to create content on a front lawn somewhere, you know, just like I want to have a nice space. So, those are just the benefits.
Yeah. Yeah. How about your kids, man? Are they all over the office? They love heading up there.
Oh man. Like when they come in here, it's like, I've just got, yeah, they're just like climbing all over stuff. Like they're out, right. They're even out in the gym, like, you know, just, yeah, climbing on the rings, creating like mini obstacle courses and,
right.
You know, yeah.
No offense if you sell insurance, but it's like, it's a way cooler business than like your dad owns like an insurance business or whatever. And it's just like, they have like a desk, right? You know, we have like pull-up bars and, you know, all kinds of just, yeah, it's like advanced PE basically is what we do with people. So I think that's cool, man. And like with you, or the family, like being such a big part of what you do. I think it's really cool to have a space to, you know, to call your own. You know, that being said, you know, this is something where like you're scaling past yourself and you know, you've been a solo provider for a long time. And I know you even had like a pretty significant injury, whenever you were training. This was what, about a year ago? Is that when you hurt your bicep?
It's almost 2 years now.
2 years. Wow. So, you know, this is something we talk about a lot with our community. You know, it's like, it's, things happen and you know, being a solo provider has some pros, but definitely some cons. So like, how was that process? How was dealing with you know, a pretty serious injury and surgery that you know, affected one of your arms? Like, how was that process with, you know, seeing patients and you know, and running the business?
I got down pretty quickly because I was like, you know, kind of, I mean, you know, initially you kind of freak out, obviously, and it's not just me freaking out. I have to, like, you know, calm my wife down. It's like, oh, what the hell? Like, you know, and then on top of that, it's like, you're not going to pull in any revenue, and then you're going to be useless around the house. So it's like a double whammy. So I can't do stuff, right? So I was like, I'm going to prove to her that, you know, I'll be able to chop vegetables and help her cook dinner, you know, like week one post-op. I'm like, I'll prove it to her, right? So then I was like, this is crazy because, like, why do I have to stress and worry and work so hard? And worry so much when I could have actually done a better job before to take care of all these things and have everything much more organized so that if something like this does happen, I don't have to worry, right? Like, me, like someone else in our group got hurt, right? And, you know, and for him, like, I was like, it's devastating, but he's in a different situation, right? Like, I'm going to shout out Brian Watts. I mean, he's like totally organized because he's got someone taking care of his business right now. And it sounds like he's doing even better right now than he ever has. So, yeah.
Isn't that funny though? I mean, so to your point, right? So okay, Brian tore his Achilles tendon, right? So he hurt himself. I think he was coaching his daughter's soccer team when it happened. I think, is that how it happened? You were doing ball slams, right?
Yeah, I was doing something with my son to get him ready for basketball. So it was something similar, I guess.
You were like training with him. Okay. So, one would be you have sort of infrastructure, administrative support, and another provider. And for you, you were that Mandalorian, right? All by yourself. And now you're dealing with, you know, with a surgery. And I think that, it is challenging, right? But did it show you like, oh man, I'm missing not just like people, but some systems that weren't in place and things like that. Like, what did you notice from that, having to go through that really has improved your business long-term?
Well, I mean, absolutely. I mean, it just definitely showed me that I didn't have the structure that was necessary, like for things to turn over. So, you know, like God forbid something happens to me more serious, then I have nothing to prove, you know, to show for, right? Okay. And ultimately so does my family, which is, that's the worst part of it. So, getting that, all those systems organized. And again, just trying to be a little bit more like efficient, hopefully efficient with my time. And I don't know, just, it was definitely a good lesson learned. I mean, I won't trade for anything.
Yeah, that's good. I think you're incredibly efficient, man. I mean, you're gonna have 37, you know, visits this week. You do, you know, work with the Ready State. You do work with us. You've got three kids. You know, I'm assuming you have hobbies that you like as well. You work out. I know you're crushing it at the EO3 5K. What, like, how do you manage all of this? I feel like, you know, you have a lot of stuff going on. How do you keep everything kind of organized and do a good job with everything?
I don't know. I mean, I appreciate you saying that, right? I mean, I guess from the outside, maybe it does look like I'm pretty efficient. I think over time too, just like, you know, I'm lucky enough to have like a nice base of like loyal base of clients who also understand and respect my time for the most part, right? And they're like, we understand that this is what your schedule looks like. We understand that you have a family and things like that. So we will work around you too. And I'm so grateful for that, right? Every day I'm like, wow, I'm so lucky to have these loyal people throughout the pandemic who are like, well, you know what? We can't see you. We'll do virtual stuff. Or you know what? We will still support you financially somehow. We'll still send you money, right? And I was like—
Wow, that happened during the pandemic?
Yeah, so—
That's amazing.
I mean, I felt bad. I was like, no, you don't have to do this. And I just had, it's not every client, but I had a handful of clients who were just like, we just want to be able to make sure that you're fine, that your family's okay. You know, so I think like just being able to cultivate some really solid relationships with people is how I'm able to efficiently manage my time right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even bringing it back to that, I feel like, you know, this is a really good sign for anybody that has a business. Obviously, you know, that's a strange stress test, like a pandemic. But it was interesting. We've had quite a few people in our mastermind that have had similar experiences with clients. Right. And like, and that's, I think it's to the point that we get to develop such unique rapport and relationships to the people that we work with, you know, like think about some of these people you've worked with for a long time. You're like, you know, you're their psychologist, you're there, you're much more than just a clinician. At a certain point, you have this deep relationship with them and you're really helping them live a active, pain-free life as much as possible and do the things that they want you out of there. And I think it's just like a very strong sign that you're doing the right things for people, that they're willing to go out of their way just to make sure that, you know, you're okay during in a pandemic where in-person businesses like we had, absolutely was very sketchy. Like March was super sad, especially where you're at because you're so close to New York City, you know? So for you guys, like how long were you guys even like limited for or shut down?
I mean, like, we decided to shut things down for about 6 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, just trying to figure what the hell was going on and what exactly was safe and unsafe and things like that. But it was the best 6 weeks for the business.
Right. That's funny, man. So like, what did you do during those six? Besides, you know, obviously there's a lot of, I spent a ton of time with my kids. It was actually had a great time because we had something similar for a similar duration of time. And it was like a really strange pause. And then all our neighbors, like everybody that I'm around, we were so much more interested in each other from a slight distance, you know, but still like there was a sense of community and it was a really interesting, you know, pause. I think that a lot of people had.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I think like for one, it was like, I was able to just like, really like reach out and just like serve like my people. I'm like, look, these are my people, like through thick and thin. I know like it through anything, like I know that I'm going to always have them. So I just tried to serve them as best as I could that way, you know, just with like private content and trying to answer their questions. Then I was able to create just more content and just revamp maybe some of the brand messaging itself just to see what else we can do. Like, I'm serious. Like, I didn't know what the heck was going to happen with the pandemic. I told my wife, I was like, just to calm her down, I was like, if you need me to, I'll work for Amazon. If that's what happens, right?
That's a good backup plan. That's way better than my backup plan. Like, Amazon sounds way better. Good idea.
You know, I was like, yeah. I was like, if I need that, I was like, if you need me to go out there and do that, you know, obviously for the family, that's what I'll do.
Sure.
But, you know, but so luckily, like we just haven't, yeah, just that. And finding out too, like during that time, like it's like, holy crap, my wife is a freaking good cook. Like I didn't know this we've been married for 17 years. And before that, like, I was like, I didn't know she could cook like that. And I was like, what kind of meal is coming up next? Because that was awesome. Like,
just didn't have the time. Oh, she's just busy.
Yeah. Yeah,
wow.
Totally.
That's cool, man. Like, I think that's, you know, it's a negative thing in a lot of ways, but you know, like there's always, you know, kind of like with your arm, right? Like these negative things, I feel like it depends at what, you know, with which lens you look at it, that you either learn something or you're resentful, you know, of it. And I prefer to try to learn something from it and really like appreciate that time. Like for those of us that, I mean, obviously not to discount, there's plenty of negative things that happen. But you know, just to like have that time with our kids at the age they are, is like, I don't think we'll ever have that, you know. It's like, unless it's the summer, but even the summer is so busy. So it was very, very unique for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. No, and look, I mean, so, you know, I mean, it was like, and then just having, I mean, yeah, again, just like kind of like recognizing that your neighbors, like, actually, I'm like, holy crap, I've never seen them because everyone's walking outside, getting exercise. And I was like, man, everyone's got a dog. Like everyone's getting dogs now. It's like COVID dogs, right? So
right.
It was kind of cool.
That's true. And then, you know, what we saw that was interesting was a massive amount of running related injuries I guess it would have been May. Like when we, you know, kind of started to open up, you know, more hours or whatever, like it was nothing but shin splints and plantar fasciitis. It was just because everybody, the weather was pretty good, at least where we were at, and everybody was outside running. You know, and they hadn't been running at all. They've been sitting in a car, you know, going to and from their office or sitting at a desk. So everybody was messing themselves up, you know, running. So we were there to help them on the back end of that as well. Did you guys see something similar where you were at?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Well, I mean, it was the Peloton was the hot thing, right? So right. All these cycling related things. And yeah, I mean, I guess I became part of the neighborhood watch because I'm like, that guy's running again for the second time today. I was like, he was out there this morning and now it's like dinner time and he's running again. It's like something's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, it's yeah, for sure. Everybody was just trying to like, get some stress relief going. So, yeah. You know, I, it's been interesting to watch your evolution, man. Like, you know, I remember when you came down here and sitting in my car with you and just being like, dude, you gotta do, you know, work with us. You gotta, you know, join this mastermind. We were just starting, right? There's only a couple of us. And I was just so interested to see how it would work with taking a mobile practice and then getting a bunch of time back and see what happened in your business. So it's been really interesting to watch the evolution of where you're at now. And now, you know, you're coaching, how many people do you have? Is it like 20 or so, business owners?
So I've got five groups. Yeah. So we've got about like, you know, 6 to 7 per group.
You're closer to 30 then. So, yeah. So, you know, with that, how's that transition been from like player to coach, I guess is a good way to put it. Right. So you're now really seeing it from the other side. Like, how's that been for you?
Well, I mean, I love it and I appreciate it because, you know, if anything else, it continues to keep me more accountable and, right. You know, because now I don't want to let anyone else down like with, well, you're not implementing, you're not doing what you have to do. And, you know, you're only, you know, it's just that the whole cliche of like, you know, just do as I say, not do as I do. And so, you know, that for me, like it's been like a game changer and I enjoy it. Right. I love to see these, I just want, and just being able to talk someone off the ledge. Cause I understand like the trends that we, you know, that you'll tend to see like in this type of environment, like, you know, well, holy crap, like last month was awesome and this month sucks. I'm like, that's going to happen. Don't worry. You know, like the ebbs and flows will happen. They will early on too. And so, you know, so yeah, it's been, I mean, I enjoy every minute of it. Like I look forward to these coaching calls. I love it when I get the Voxers. So I love it.
Yeah. You know, and I think for the size businesses that you're working with being smaller and just getting going, there's a lot of, there's a lot of mindset, like resiliency, things that pop up where you're right. Somebody it's such a roller coaster, early on where it's like, oh my gosh, this is working. Like I had a great month. And then, oh my gosh, this is not working. I'm having a bad month the month after. And what they don't realize is just the nature of the business is somewhat undulating and there's seasonal changes. And like, I remember the first December I thought I was going out of business. I was looking for jobs. I was looking for jobs at a hospital and I didn't apply because the application's too freaking long. I didn't want to do it. So I was looking cause I was freaked out. And then January rolled around and was like, oh my gosh, this is working again. And I didn't know that. Oh yeah. Everybody goes on vacation. No one told me that. I didn't have anybody to ask. The stress was insane. And you know, for you with businesses in this stage where they're, you know, by themselves, they're looking to kind of scale and hire a little bit on the smaller stage. What do you feel like some of the bigger problems that they're really dealing with, are, if there's any like, you know, correlation to these problems you're seeing?
Well, it's always like the drop off in like just local marketing and networking, right? I mean, yeah. Just, you know, it's just kind of like, you know, I was so busy this month that I dropped off on just, you know, reconnecting and making sure that like, you know, my referral sources or anyone who could be an ally or part of my dream team is like, I'm just not touching base with them enough and just checking back, you know? So that's one of the things I definitely see, which is, you know, again, it's a good problem, right? It's like, I'm busy, I'm working on things, but I'm still not making sure that I'm building those relationships to make sure that this is becomes more repeatable and sustainable over an extended period of time.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, that work for the marketing side, then the fulfillment side where they get busy and they don't have the time to, you know, reconnect with people. That's really, it seems like the, one of the points where they kind of get stuck as they go to really scale past themselves, because, what I think what's scary is when you go to bring somebody else on, you don't realize that now you have a whole nother person that is like representing your business in the community. And that alone drives more people your way. And from there, layering on the digital side of things where you have content that can be leveraged when you're not having to meet with somebody. And this is where it starts to smooth out, as well as for where you're at now. You have such a good base of people you've already worked with that, you know, you probably don't have to do anything, and you have such good recurring visit revenue, as well as, you know, people that are talking you up, that you have, you know, word of mouth referrals that are coming in, but that doesn't happen overnight. So I really feel like that first stage, it can be such a, you know, the spikes and the drops can be really, I mean, hard to hold on for that. It's a intense ride, I guess is a good way to put it.
Yeah. I mean, this totally agree. I mean, there's nothing else to really say about that. Absolutely.
Well, so with the people that you're working with now, like, you know, with them through the pandemic, and it's, you know, it's interesting to kind of have seen, the things that were working, the things that weren't. I feel like the vast majority of our businesses are like significantly better off coming out of that than they were in, you know, March. And it's interesting. I don't know if you've noticed the same trend, but people coming back looking for this sort of hybrid role, like they're looking to get healthier. They got scared by, you know, something that was legitimately killing people that are unhealthy, and as well as, you know, whatever, many other people, but primarily older people that have, you know, issues, underlying issues. So getting healthy, moving better, staying active. You know, have you noticed like any things that they're seeing as far as, you know, upswings with their businesses in particular?
Upswings with whose businesses though?
The businesses you're working with at compared to pre-COVID. You know, like we see the numbers on the back end, and I'm not talking to everybody every month like you are. It seems like they're massively growing, like just hiring like crazy and scaling. Like it's been really interesting to watch.
Oh, I mean, it's been incredible. I mean, just to see that, because like, I mean, from the contrast, like, look, Danny, like last year, right, when I did my first coaching call with the group, it was like, gosh, it felt like it was like the, you know, Avengers Endgame scene when Captain America was like sitting there, like, you know, just chatting about, you know, with like these like small group of people. And it's like, there's a, you know, New York City's empty. And I mean, you can just like, you know, and I'm sure half of them were like, it's freaking COVID. And I just decided to go off on my own. And then you talk to them now, like, so from, yeah, last like March, April to now, like you can see the difference in how everyone's business has like grown. It's, and like, you know, I'm sure that a majority of them are like, wow. I mean, like I would not have expected this much, like in this short period of time. So yeah, I mean, no, absolutely. Like everyone that you know, in the groups like have, it's just such a contrast, because I saw that from the very beginning. I was like, I would end off the call. I'm like, I appreciate you guys like doing this, because you guys are some crazy bastards for doing this. Like, and but like, you know, we get a lot of like, I mean, now when I talk to everybody, just the amount of growth, and just in terms of just not just like, you know, from a revenue standpoint, but just professionally, like it's amazing, like the difference that I've seen in them.
Oh man, you know, it's almost like they have a callus now, right? You know. Yeah. Start doing some Olympic lifting, and you got to build some calluses. It's like that. Like they have an entrepreneurial callus from this hard event that, you know, that we've all went through, and you included. And, you know, and the, one of the reasons what, you know, for us, that all the coaches that we have and basically, you know, everybody that's involved in it, we actively own these businesses, you know, so it's not, you know, we're not just making this stuff up. It's what's working in real time. It's what's happening in real time. You know, and for you, where are you going with this thing, man? What is you know, Evolve to Perform going to really look like over the next 3 years if everything works out for what your vision is?
Oh man. So I don't know. I mean, like right now, just, you know, being able to, you know, I'm onboarding, you know, my first like W-2 PT, like official, like, which is so exciting, you know? Honestly, if you ask me within 3 years, like, you know, I've been like looking for a standalone space. Actually right now, like even with like this location, we actually have a second satellite location that, you know, we're there one day a week. We're inside like an osteopathic massage therapy practice, which is like, they've been a great ally for us. Like it's, so we complement each other so well. Yeah. And you know, that schedule is busy a couple weeks out. Like, I mean, we're only there one day a week, but we're booked like a couple weeks out already there. Wow. So, I mean, but I really do anticipate just having a standalone location within 3 years. I hope to have, you know, two or three like really great clinicians. And I don't know. I mean, I mean, we'll see. Like, I'd like to, my goal for like the second half of this year was to drop it down to 15 visits a week. But as you can see, I'm not at that point right now. So
Right.
I'm hoping to just continue to build up a team of people and hopefully delegate a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, I think what I've seen, you know, what the stage that you're in is it comes down to talent acquisition. So if you can really find and cultivate talented people within your organization, and you know, there's a, no one likes to be micromanaged, but everybody needs some amount of structure as well, right? So, you know, giving them the I guess bumper to work within your company and systems that work and setting them up for success and them knowing what the score is and if they're winning or losing, like these are all really important things that allow you to really be able to scale, you know, past yourself. And the standalone location side of things that you bring up, I think is such a it's a good kind of relevant point in terms of we're seeing more and more people move to standalone locations with these types of businesses, especially in the last, I would say, especially in the last 6 months, because commercial real estate has not, I mean, has really been hit hard, hasn't bounced back the way, you know, many other businesses have. I don't know if it really ever will. I think a lot of people realize they don't need as much in-person space. Now, for you and I, if we're going to do things in person, especially if you want to incorporate some sports performance work with that, maybe or something like that, we definitely do. We need a decent sized space. Now is a great time to really see, you know, the market at a low, and we're seeing some amazing deals that clients are getting. So, you know, I think that the standalone space makes a ton of sense, you know, and you, as you talk about creativity, you get to design this thing. It's like this perfect little ecosystem you get to create for yourself. It's really fun. I think you would crush it with standalone space.
Yeah, thanks, man. That's definitely the goal. I mean, yeah, and you're completely right. Today, I was so before, you know, before this Facebook Live, and a couple concierge visits, and I passed by an office building, and it was like, to show you how desperate some like building owners are. It's like, it was 42,000 square feet. All right, just but like out in front, it said first year rent free. Like they're that, you know, desperate right now. That I'm like, man, 42,000 square feet for sure, rent free.
Dude, you could have an insane facility at 42,000 square feet. It would be like so much space.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, they're out there for sure. You know, if anybody's listening to this and they're on the fence about, man, do I, you know, hunker down in the sublease office they have, or do I start looking for some of these, you know, bigger spaces? And maybe it's a stepping stone space. Maybe it's 1,500 square feet, right? Not 3,000 or more, or something to that effect. Now's a great time to really have those conversations and really, you know, and really look. And I would imagine in your area in particular, there's probably been more, you know, businesses that have been hurt with the commercial space than, you know, more rural areas, obviously. So definitely something worth looking into, man. But I'm excited to watch you evolve, dude, and grow, you know, over the next few years. It's been fun to be able to just work with you the last couple of years and to watch you start coaching people and to hear how much great feedback we get from you is amazing. Because every single person that we get a box from about you, it's always amazing, you know. So for you, haven't been involved in the mastermind for a few years, and people that listen to this or they're in the Facebook group, you know, what would you say to them if they're like on the fence? Because I'm sure we have plenty of people that are, you know, like, I don't know about that. They seem kind of intense. It seems like a lot of time. It seems like a lot of money, whatever. Lots of reasons to not do things. But, you know, what would your advice be to them if they're kind of on the fence about whether they should get some help with their business or not?
I mean, I'm just gonna, you know, I mean, from my experience with just being a part of this group, you know, just you know, not just from a professional development standpoint, but personally, like just, you know, I think the amount that I like to think that I've grown with that, just even like with you know, being a better parent and like husband, you know, and I'm telling you too, like I think just being a better clinician overall, like in terms of like, you know, I don't know, just I think my kids have been the biggest teachers, right? Because like, you know, I would on my kids, I was kind of tough, right? I was tough on I'm tough on my kids. I demand a lot from my kids. But I kind of realized too that like, well, you know, if maybe like being a little too tough on them, kind of learning a different like psychological approach to getting things done,
Right.
Might also help me become a better clinician in terms of maybe selling things or just even like sending, you know, just giving them a program and like, hey, this is understanding like your injury and things like that, right? So I think just becoming like just a more well-rounded person, like kind of like, well, to my kids, I don't want to be the person who tells you don't do this, don't do that. And it's the same thing when I'm working with the clients. I'm like, I don't want to be that guy who's like, nope, you can't do that, you can't do this. Like, you know, this is what we can do. Like, this is what's going to help you. Like, so I think like just, you know, for overall, like in terms of just even personal development, right, being able to become just a better communicator with just everybody across the board. I think that alone is like the benefit, you know, from this, but also being one of like the original Mastermind members, you know, I'll tell this like to all the other members that I coach too. I'm like, you know, all the content, it continues to even evolve from your standpoint, right? I'm like, you're not going to get the same stuff. Like it's, you know, I can see how you guys, how PT Biz has grown as well, right? I'm like, I just can't wait to see what's next. Because I'm telling you, like, just the, again, the personal, you know, just, again, like, improvement from a personal standpoint, I can't thank you guys enough, right? And, again, for you guys giving me this opportunity. So I just can't wait to see what else is to come of the Mastermind group itself.
Well, it's exciting, you know, to see, to be part of the evolution has been interesting because originally the whole point was let's just help people improve their businesses. And very quickly, I started realizing, holy crap, that's like a tiny percentage of what's actually happening and what kind of conversations are going on when we get the right people together. Like that's, I think that's where, and this is what was very challenging in 2020 because we had to, you know, move things to virtual and getting people back together in Charleston was a lot of fun. But, you know, I mean, it's, you talk about your kids, right? Like, you know, last time we got together, we chatted with, you know, you, me, Roger, Courtney, we're talking about his son and he wants to do like a, when he turns 13, he wants to get like his brothers together with him and do like a, you know, welcome to manhood trip, like coming of age trip and like do something really physically hard with him. And like this is not like normal conversations I'm having with just, you know, random people. This is like intentional. How do I become a better parent? How do I have a better relationship with my kid? Like, you know, and, but the thing is like business forces you to develop personally. Whether you like it or not, you're just going to realize, hey, I have some flaws. Like, and if I don't improve those, this thing over here is not going to work and it's not going to support my life, you know? And I think that, that was not something that any of us thought was the case. It just was literally, hey, let's just show you how to make more money, in your business, run it more efficiently. And it's evolved into what we see now, which is really, you know, it's obviously the businesses that we work with do well, but the people that we get a chance to work with become better people, you know, and that's actually like, in my opinion, the best part of all of it. So it's been super fun to watch you. I can totally tell, man, like you're like very scattered when we first started working with you. You're like, oh, do some of this. You're always stressed and time poor as hell. And like, and now like, you know, I see you and you just like, you're like, you do cool shit with your kids all the time. It's super cool to watch.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, enough of the bro session, I guess, for now. We'll go ahead and let you, we'll let you wrap up and tell people like, hey man, where, you know, if they're interested in connecting with you and reaching out, or, if they know somebody in the Long Island area, or if they're there and they want to come by and, you know, get some help on something, where do they find out more about your practice?
Thanks, man. Yeah. So our doors are always open to anybody, clinician or client potentially. So we're located in Farmingdale, New York. I tell people from this area that we're located right next to a very popular theme park called Adventureland. You can reach me also on Instagram if you want at Dr. Kingsley PT, or just send me an email at kingsley@evolvetoperform.com.
Cool. That's it, man. Thanks so much for your time today. I know you're busy. You got a lot of visits on the schedule. You got a lot of stuff to do. So thank you so much for taking the time to chat today.
Absolutely, man. Good to see you.
You got it. All right. See ya. Hey, real quick before you go, I just want to say thank you so much for listening to this podcast. And I would love it if you got involved in the conversation. So this is a one-way channel. I'd love to hear back from you. I'd love to get you into the group that we have formed on Facebook. Our PT Entrepreneurs Facebook group has about 4,000 clinicians in there that are literally changing the face of our profession. I'd love for you to join the conversation, get connected with other clinicians all over the country. I do live trainings in there with Eve Gigi every single week, and we share resources that we don't share anywhere else outside of that group. So if you're serious about being a PT entrepreneur, a clinical rainmaker, head to that group, get signed up, go to facebook.com/groups/PT entrepreneur, or go to Facebook and just search for PT entrepreneur. And we're going to be the only group that pops up under that name.